This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Prince Charles has warned the current financial crisis is nothing compared to the impact of global warming. Speaking in Brazil, the heir to the throne said climate change now calls into question humanity's continued survival on the planet.
Global warming. Global warming. Global warming. I am sick and tired of hearing about global warming.
Chinese passenger car sales in February jumped 33% from a year earlier.
I don't believe it. Over and over and over. I am going down.
But you can't stop developing the auto industry just because it influences the environment and tell everyone to go back to riding bicycles.
China surpassed the US as the world's largest auto market in January.
Don't take my word for it. Here are the shocking, sordid facts. And judge for yourselves.
In this program, we'll catch the latest wave and a scorching hot speech by Oakland activist Van Jones at the recent PowerShift 09 conference in Washington, D.C. Right-wing radio nut Michael Savage calls Jones a thug. President Obama calls him special advisor on green jobs. I'm Alex Smith. But hey, are you sick of hearing about climate change? Who isn't? Polls show millions of people can't stand to hear any more about it, like this radio funster Craig Mayhem. Mr. Mayhem doesn't like anything, as we'll find out in this classic one-minute rant.
Global warming. Global warming. Global warming. I am sick and tired of hearing about global warming from everybody. Not just people are like, oh my God, we're all going to die. Global warming, we're all going to die. The fish are dying. The trees are dying. Everybody's dying. Your grandkids are going to burn up on the surface of the sun. But also people who say, every time it's cold out, oh, global warming, huh? Huh, look, it's cold outside. Oh, no, crap. It's wintertime. It's going to be cold. You son of a bitch. I'll punch you with a ball next time I hear that crap.
The planet is getting killed, he says, but he's fed up with the blather. Catch his other rants at www.superfunpatrol.net. British writer/activist George Monbiot says it's time to ditch the label climate change anyway. After realizing the Intergovernmental Panel, which governments have been using as their authoritative source, completely underestimated the rapid impacts of climate, Monbiot says, quote, "We have to stop calling it climate change, using climate change to describe events like this, with their devastating implications for global food security, water supplies, and human settlements, is like describing a foreign invasion as an unexpected visit, or bombs as unwanted deliveries. It's a ridiculously neutral term for the biggest potential catastrophe humankind has ever encountered. I think we should call it climate breakdown. Does anyone out there have a better idea?" That's George Monbiot writing in the British newspaper The Guardian. Climate breakdown or climate shift, whatever we call it, we're in for it. Now I want to report on a new speech by author and activist Bill McKibben. On YouTube, you can find part of his presentation to the annual business conference of the Kelly School of Business on March 11, 2009. About 2,000 scientists went to Copenhagen last week to raise public and the government awareness of the climate crisis. "We now know and can prove with scientific measurements that the sea level rise predicted by the Intergovernmental Panel report in 2007 was totally underestimated. Once we add melting of ice and glaciers, as you've no doubt heard, sea level could go over 4 feet higher on average in just one human lifetime, that is, by the end of this century." This news comes as many cities are rediscovering their ocean fronts, switching from unsightly industry and docks to upscale plazas and homes for millionaires. All that looks like another unsustainable bubble as scientists announce sea level rises of 4 feet or more, as you've just heard. I got into this discussion with one of Australia's leading city planners, Dr. Peter Newman. He was in Vancouver with his new book, Resilient Cities, Responding to Peak Oil and Climate Change. Dr. Newman showed slides of imaginative ideas for redeveloping the shoreline of Sydney in Australia. But I wondered if all that would be underwater in our children's lifetimes.
Yeah, we have quite strong planning laws that incorporate a 1.5 to 2 metre sea level rise in all development. I don't see that as being something that is impossible to overcome. Engineers love those kind of problems because essentially, you know, you build seawalls and do what the Dutch did, you know, and they're 20 metres under. They say Bangladesh is going to disappear because it's going to be, you know, the sea level's rising and they're very close to it. But they've been dealing, they deal daily with 13 metre tides. That's on average, 13 metres. So add another metre to that. How do you manage it? They manage it with huge mud banks, which they build and constantly are rebuilding. Some of them break down in storms, but they're very clever at dealing with the sea. They've had hundreds of years of dealing with that. And they will go on doing that. I think we'll find ways of protecting our cities with seawalls if it comes to that. But I would hope that the 1.5 kind of metre rise is all that happens, because we get on and fix the atmosphere.
That was Dr. Peter Newman, author of Resilient Cities, in a Q&A recorded by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock in January 2009. You could download Peter Newman's complete speech as a free MP3. It's a good one. Get it. Look for our 2009 program archive and select the show for January 16th. I don't share his optimism about our ability to adapt. What if the economic crisis makes such super projects impossible to finance? What if governments are too in debt to build and maintain seawalls? Keep in mind that fossil fuels required for building mega projects are also running out as the century progresses. It seems more likely we will simply abandon flooded parts of the cities as the sea levels rise more than expected, aided by stronger storms. That is the conclusion drawn by California's Climate Action Team in a report released in early March 2009 and reported by the Los Angeles Times on March 12th. The Times writes, "Report recommends phased abandonment of coastal areas and moving state infrastructure inland." End quote. Billions of dollars of infrastructure, from America's busiest port to freeways and office buildings, may have to be abandoned if the sea rises just 55 inches by the end of the century. Another report by the Pacific Institute in Oakland predicted 100,000 residents would be directly affected, from well-known neighborhoods like Marina del Rey and Venice, California. The airports in San Francisco and Oakland would go underwater. The Climate Action Team suggested about 1,100 miles of seawalls and levees costing $14 billion. They also questioned whether the state should support any further development along the coast and call for new construction to go further inland. Meanwhile, some of the poorest residents of the state and some of the wealthiest can expect damaging floods and storms due to sea level rise. Adding to the chorus, just this past week, U.S. Senator John Kerry told Agence France-Presse that deferring action on climate change just because of the economic crisis would amount to, quote, a mutual suicide pact. AFP quotes Kerry saying, "Climate change is not governed by a recession. It's governed by scientific facts about what's happening to Earth, and you either accept the realities of the science or you don't." Well, here is someone who doesn't. Michael Savage is a popular radio talk show host syndicated across America. My listeners in Canada, Europe, Australia, or Asia will be shocked at the amount of hatred spewed out on the right-wing radio in the United States. Here, Mr. Savage, whose real name is Wiener, explains how President Obama is implementing Nazi-style fascism through green energy and controls on greenhouse gases.
The fact of the matter is that Obama may be getting ready to organize his own personal army, not of brown shirts, but of green shirts. And that is why he has given this street thug, Van Jones, in my opinion, a street thug, a man who has specialized in harassing the police themselves, this all-important job. If Obama should appoint thousands or more than thousands of people to the environmental green czar to work for him, and then he deputizes them and then gives them guns and then gives them federal powers over that of the local police, you will know that we are repeating history in the United States of America. My fear is that Obama will be using the green shirts, these street agitators, in order to control the police and the people. Now, you're not able to talk about this because you don't know who I'm talking about, because the vermin in the media are covering up this very dangerous situation that is going on right in front of your nose.
That is why the scientists in Copenhagen, that's what they're up against, all these scientists around the world, including at the American National Academy of Science. If the denialists win and the people turn to hatred, the world will be in flames in more ways than one. You have stumbled into the Radio EcoShock Show with Alex Smith, right here on Green 960 AM, San Francisco. Fortunately, we have other voices, and lately these saner voices have won at the polls. Let us hear from Michael Savage's thug, Van Jones. Van Jones is an African-American activist from Oakland, California. He was early to say that the Green Movement needed to include people of color, that any big change in America would not work if it leaves the poor and the dispossessed behind. Hell, I'll let him tell you. Here is the conclusion of his speech to the PowerShift 09 conference just held in Washington, D.C., February 27th to March 2nd, 2009.
I'm going to tell you right now. We could have clean coal. I'm for clean coal, but I'll tell you what. If we're going to have clean coal, let's have a couple other things. We could have clean coal, or if we could power the country with clean coal, or we could have unicorns pull our cars for us, so, you know, all day. We could have that too. Equally fictitious, equally fantastical, equally ludicrous, you know. So, you know, we could have the tooth fairy bring us our energy at night. I mean, equally ludicrous. There is no such thing as the tooth fairy. There is no such thing as unicorns. And there is no such thing as clean coal. So let's be clear about that. Let's be clear about that. But when we say that, let's say with equal force and equal passion, that our sisters and brothers who go into those coal mines every day, who risk their health, who risk their lungs, who are now being asked to blow up their grandmother's mountains and just scrape out the coal, they don't set the energy policy in this country. They suffer because of the energy policy in this country, and we stand with them, and we want them to have a better future, too. We want them to have a better future, too. They're a part of this movement. They're a part of this movement. We're not going to leave anybody out. When we talk about green for all, green for everybody, where was it written that only men could put up solar panels? Where was it written that only men could manufacture wind turbines? If the green economy has the same sorry track record of sexism, if women in the green economy are making 70 cents to the dollar, just like they're doing in the pollution-based economy, something's wrong with our movement. Something's wrong with our movement. We need to have gender equity in this movement. We mean green for everybody. We need to be clear about that. The only part of the anatomy that should matter in the green economy is above the neck. Is above the neck. Let's get that clear. What about our Native American brothers and sisters? We had the beautiful brother up here, Clayton. Give Clayton a round of applause. He put it down. He put it down. They told us a long time ago that this was sacred land. And the sacrifice zones of the pollution-based economy have to become the sacred zones in the new clean and green economy. Those communities that were locked out of the pollution-based economy and pushed down by the pollution-based economy need to be lifted up in the clean and green economy. That needs to be a moral principle. And our Native American sisters and brothers who were pushed and bullied and mistreated and shoved into all the land we didn't want, where it was all hot and windy. Well, guess what? Renewable energy. Guess what? Solar industry. Guess what? Wind industry. They now own and control 80% of the renewable energy resources. No more broken treaties. No more broken treaties. Give them the wealth. Give them the wealth. Give them the dignity. Give them the respect that they deserve. no justice on stolen land. We owe them a debt. They were fine for you to suffer when it is hot. We'll let you be the solar power for this country and not just bring clean energy and that kind of power, but bring the moral power that community has been crying out to deliver to all of us. What about our immigrant sisters and brothers? What about our immigrant sisters and brothers? What about people who come here from all around the world who we're willing to have out in the fields with poison being sprayed on them? Poison being sprayed on them because we have the wrong agricultural system. And then we're willing to poison them and poison the earth to put food on our table, but we don't want to give them rights, and we don't want to give them dignity, and we don't want to give them respect. We need to get down on our knees and thank these Native American communities, but also the Latino community, Asian community, and every other community that's willing to come here and help us out, because we obviously need some help. We need some wisdom from someplace else, because what we've come up with here don't make no sense at all. The green economy can't open its arms and welcome everybody. Something's wrong. And lastly, what about our sisters and brothers that are in prison right now? What about the formerly incarcerated? We need to have a green economy that doesn't have any throwaway species. We need to have a green economy that doesn't have any throwaway resources. We need a green economy that doesn't have any throwaway people either. No throwaway people. We can't have a green economy that's passionate about reclaiming thrown away stuff, but indifferent to reclaiming thrown away lives. We can't have a green movement that says we're going to do everything we can to give dead materials a second chance through recycling. Dead materials get a second chance through recycling. But if you've been to prison, we have no place for you in our economy. We won't give living people a second chance. That's not the green economy we need to build, sisters and brothers. We need to build a green economy. That reclaims people, too. That reclaims community. That's why you were born kind of strange. That's why you have all these funny feelings in yourself, because it takes a big heart. It takes a big heart to embrace the children of all species and people of all colors and say, I hold the vision for you. You may look different. You may be from someplace different. Our circumstances may be different. But I'm out here fighting for you. And I want to stand with you. And I want to work with you. And I want to listen to you. And it's the love in your heart that will give you that power. And the power that you have right here, with no guns, with no elective office, just right here, the love in your heart is stronger than a bomb. It's stronger than a bomb. It's stronger than a bully in office. It's stronger than a polluter. There's enough love in this room to save the whole world, sisters and brothers. If you don't let it down. If you don't let us down. And the reason I want you to hold on to your idealism is because this is the final chapter. In this century, based on what you do, the whole human family will declare what kind of species we are. Understand that. This is deeper than a solar panel. I want you to have a clean energy revolution. That's beautiful. But I'm going to tell you the truth about it. If you stop there, if all you do is have a clean energy revolution, you won't have done anything. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. If all we do is take out the dirty power system, the dirty power generation in a system, and just replace it with some clean stuff, put a solar panel on top of this system, but we don't deal with how we are consuming water, we don't deal with how we're treating our other sister and brother species, we don't deal with toxins, we don't deal with the way we treat each other, If that's not a part of this movement, let me tell you what you'll have. This is all you'll have. You'll have solar-powered bulldozers, solar-powered buzzsaws, and biofueled bombers, and we'll be fighting wars over lithium for the batteries instead of oil for the engines, and we'll still have a dead planet. This movement is deeper than a solar panel. Deeper than a solar panel. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. No, we're going to change the whole system. We're going to change the whole thing. We're not going to put a new battery in a broken system. We want a new system. We want a new system.
You've just heard Van Jones from the PowerShift 09 conference in Washington, D.C. Van Jones has been appointed as a special advisor to the president on green jobs. The media wanted to call him the green jobs czar, but Jones was quick to point out he would be more of a handyman. His mission is to facilitate the greening of many departments in the U.S. government so that all of them get moving not only on the carbonless economy, but on green jobs for those who need them most. That is a huge social program and a long-time dream of social justice. Of course, it isn't possible. In the same way that an African-American could never be elected president of the United States. Well, maybe we can. There is no way to toss up a few solar panels and hybrids and declare the consumer society green. It's going to take changes from everyone just to survive the economic crash, the energy slide, and the climate breakdown. We'll have to stop arresting young people and minorities for victimless crimes like pot. Yes, Van Jones, the millions of imprisoned Americans will need to be brought into the solution along with the Aboriginal people, everybody. Otherwise, the billionaires make their last stand behind the remains of the military and its blood in the streets until the heat waves solve the human problem by ending it. Massive change or massive death, and we may experience both, but I have hope we'll come out of this. Should we change our slogan to Yes, we must? Here is a word of hope from Peter Sinclair. Peter has a raft of good videos on YouTube answering the phony claims of climate deniers. The famous hockey stick debate, the medieval warming period, the urban heat island effect, all the myths those skeptics repeat over and over, demolished by Peter Sinclair's YouTube videos called Denial Crock of the Week. Seek them, and ye shall find. Peter says,
we're poised for a boom in the coming 5 or 6 years, despite what the economy looks like now. The next 5 to 7 years are going to be historic and formative for everybody. We will look back on this period like people look back on the 1960s or the Depression or the Civil War in terms of being absolutely a critical turning point. So now is a really great time for everybody to work really hard because the potential exists for massive, massive change. We're at that mark.
You can find lots of answers in our past Radio EcoShock shows. Our latest programs are downloaded 1,000 a week from the free website ecoshock.org. Even EcoShock shows from 2 years ago with experts on smog and global dimming and surviving after the lights go out, they get downloaded an average of 200 a month. Find out for yourself what top authors and scientists are saying. Load up your computer or iPod at ecoshock.org. It's advertising free and absolutely free to you. I'm your host, Alex Smith. As we travel through the whirlwind.
I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk.
A scientist tells people the truth. When times are good, when the truth offers no threat, people don't mind. But when times are very, very bad, well, a magician tells people what they wish were true.